struck this week by a quote by Elizabeth Ann Seton. The gate of heaven is very low. The humble only can enter it. And I've been thinking also about the anniversary marked by today. On March 24th, in 1980, a man calmly stepped from a car outside the Church of Divine Providence in San Salvador, El Salvador. In broad daylight, he lifted his rifle onto the hood of the car, took aim down the aisle of the nave of the church, and fired one shot that felled Archbishop Oscar Romero just as he was finishing his homily. The archbishop, who had been the voice of the poor and oppressed in El Salvador, who had vocally denounced political assassinations, torture, and false imprisonment by the authoritarian government, and also violent responses from the left, was killed that day by an assassin's bullet. And why? What was the message that meant he needed to be silenced? Well, he denounced what he saw as the three idols of El Salvador at that time: wealth and land, power and national security, and rigid partisan organization. As he saw it, these were false gods that demanded human victims. And Romero said no to all of this. Saint Oscar Romero knew very well that denouncing these idols was inherently faithful and undeniably political. He knew that standing for the poor against a cruel government and partisan factions was dangerous, but he could not do otherwise. He said no to violence, torture, and death in the name of the country or in the name of taking the country back. He said yes to organizing the poor and the abused. He said yes to dialogue, to social justice for the poor, and to upholding the rights of all. He said yes to compassion. He said no to wrath and yes to faith. He blessed life and not death. And that is a political act, beloved, just as Moses leading the Hebrews out of bondage was a political act and an act of faith for which he had been marked by God. Because above all, Saint Oscar Romero was saying yes to God. Well, let me be clear. Archbishop Romero was not a Democrat or a Republican. He was conservative and apolitical by habit. It's just that his party was the party of Christ and his platform was the gospel, and the platform of the gospel has a nasty habit of unsettling our other allegiances. Because Christ is always close to the cries of the oppressed, and he pulls us along with him, sometimes in spite of ourselves. I know social justice is a term that has been co-opted by various media interests and turned into an epithet, either of revulsion or of pride. As Christians, it is just our way of being in the world, following where Jesus takes us. Just as in the Exodus story, the cry of God's people had risen, and so God sent Moses to set them free, so the cry of God's people in El Salvador rose to God's ears, and Saint Oscar Romero was simply faithful to say, "Here I am, send me." The question we need to ask is, what have we left undone? How can we also open our ears and our hearts to the voice of Christ in the poor and the beaten down? How can we, with Oscar Romero, hear and respond to the cries of those who are most in need? And I think both Moses and Archbishop Romero show us an answer. An unlikely one, perhaps. Humility. Humility has always been a mark of those who follow Jesus well. If you should ask me, St. Augustine once said, what are the ways of God? I will tell you the first is humility. The second is humility. And the third is still humility. Not that there are no other precepts to give, but if humility does not precede all that we do, our efforts are fruitless. If we wish to walk in the way of Jesus, our first step must be one of humility. The gate of heaven is very low. The humble only can enter it. Consider Moses. When he was given his task to announce God's mercy and to stand up against the injustice of Egypt and to speak against Pharaoh, when Moses was given this message to deliver of social and racial justice, of divine justice, he balked. Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And who was Moses to denounce the Egyptian supremacist oppression of the Hebrews and to proclaim a new horizon, God's dream for a just nation? After all, he was just a shepherd. Who was he to stand against family and friends? And he did. You can read all about it in Exodus. Who thought that they should just go along with the current system because it's better than the alternative? Who was he? Was he proud and full of confidence in his own views and his own abilities? No. In himself, he was nothing, because Moses, too, as the collect for today says, had no power of himself to help himself. He was a humble man, but God had chosen him. And listen to what God says, I will be with you, and I am who I am. In other words, I am your fixed point. I am the one who is able and does bear you up, and I will always forever be with you. As the psalm says, O God, you are my God, eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you. That is, I think, the secret to humility. It's not thinking that we of ourselves are garbage. That's not humility. That's shame. But recognizing that God is the source of all being, all blessing, and all joy. Humility is recognizing that our greatest joy is in God, and that to arrive at that greater joy, sometimes God is in the habit of surprising us, disrupting what it is we would prefer, our ways of thinking, and the ways that we have been taught to see the world. Humility is, above all, a willingness to be available to God. I'll just say it again for good measure. Humility is, above all, a willingness to be available to God. Tomorrow is the Feast of the Annunciation, which commemorates Mary making herself available to God. Moses, we know, made himself available to God, and Archbishop Romero made himself available to God. As he said, I am no more than the humble echo of God in God's people. So humility does not mean saying no to ourselves so much as saying yes to God. Yes to showing God's compassion to people not like us. Yes to fighting for basic human dignity for all God's children. Yes, even to sacrificing our own sense of what we are owed to the needs of God's favored ones, and maybe even our own lives for God's gospel of peace and mercy. We have no power of ourselves to help ourselves, as the collect for today reminds us. When the death threats rolled in, Archbishop Romero declined armed protection or going into hiding. He said, why should the shepherd have protection while his sheep are still prey to wolves? He understood well that he had no power of himself to help himself. And when we recognize that fact, as I said last week, we can only respond in fear or in faith. Those who know only wrath respond in fear. Those who choose the way of Jesus respond in faith and humility. We give our yes to God, even if it means the course of our life will forever be changed. We give our yes to God as our ultimate end, our highest good, our deepest longing, and therefore our greatest joy. We give our yes to God. As we look forward to the Feast of the Annunciation tomorrow, and remember the joyful humility of Mary, who risked much to become the bearer of God in the world, let us have Mary and Moses and Saint Oscar Romero as our role models, who found their strength not in their own confidence, but in their yes to the grace and favor of God, who kept them and called them in spite of the costs to bless life, to bless and not to curse. And above all, let us have the great humility of God in our sights, who came from heaven, became flesh, and dwelt among us as one of us, and lived a life all the way to the cross, giving himself for us. And if we hold these in our hearts and make ourselves available to God in this way, we may just find that the gate of heaven has grown a little taller. Amen.
Let us now rise and recite together the Nicene Creed, as found on page 326 of the Book of Common Prayer.